Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. Coming up, we'll talk some baseball. Continue to talk about the Pacers and their matchup with the Bucks tomorrow afternoon. Right now, though, we turn it over to the star of our show, the man himself. It's Network Indiana's Corbin Lingenfelter.
It was a big day for the Anderson Ravens in college baseball. They sweep Bluffton 9-4 and then 12-5 in a doubleheader. And then also, I'm sorry, that's high school baseball. And then also in college baseball now, Indiana State wins 9-7 over Carbondale. Excuse me. They win 9-7 earlier on today. They will play in the series will continue tomorrow night on ESPNU at 5:30. In high school baseball, Westdale loses to Adams Central 5-2. Yorktown defeats Newcastle 11-3. Eastern takes down Maconaqua 15-5. Borden over Crothersville 15-3. New Albany takes down Jennings County 6-5. 28 runs were scored between Indian Creek and Tri-West Hendricks, and it's Indian Creek coming away with the victory there. Fort Wayne Bishop Dwenger wins 3-2 over 24th-ranked Mishawaka Marion. Plainfield loses to Harrison 8-5. Waldron defeats Southwestern 17-6. And 17th-ranked Avon wins over Providence 9-3. Linton, Stockton, and Orleans, 30 runs scored between these two teams. Linton, Stockton comes away 20-10 winners over the Orleans Bulldogs. And lastly, South Bend, Washington wins 14-4 over East Chicago Central. Out in minor league baseball, the Indianapolis Indians once again had their game today postponed due to wet grounds, a series of storms moving through the Nebraska area. They'll continue their series with the Omaha Storm Chasers tomorrow. It's a doubleheader. First game throws at 1:05 Eastern. The second one will follow after. Also in minor league baseball, the South Bend Cubs fall to Quad Cities 12-7 earlier on tonight. The University of Notre Dame has another quarterback in the NFL as Sam Hartman has officially signed with an NFC East team, that being the Washington Commanders. Hartman was signed just mere hours after the NFL draft concluded as an undrafted free agent. And a former Center Grove Trojan is making his big league dreams come true as Carson Steele is heading to the Kansas City Chiefs as an undrafted free agent. Steele rushed for over 2,000 yards in 2 years with Ball State before transferring to UCLA last year. Carried the rock 41 times for 272 yards for the Bruins in 4 games last season. And also had 8 receptions for 62 yards and a touchdown. He had 3 total touchdowns with the Bruins last year. Speaking of the draft, the Indianapolis Colts wrapped up a busy weekend for them. They took Leiatu Latu, an edge rusher from UCLA, on Thursday night with the 15th pick. On night number 2, they drafted Adonai Mitchell, a wide receiver out of Texas, and Matt Goncalves, an offensive lineman out of Pittsburgh. Then today, Tanner Bortolini, an interior offensive lineman from Wisconsin, Anthony Gold, wide receiver from Oregon State, Jalen Carlisle, a linebacker from Mizzou, Jalen Sampson, a corner from Auburn, Micah Abraham, a defensive back from Marshall, and Jonah Lawalu, a defensive tackle from Oklahoma. Tomorrow is game 4 between the Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks. In the Eastern Conference playoffs, Indiana has a 2-1 series lead after Tyrese Halliburton's game-winning shot in overtime on Friday night. Tip-off tomorrow is 7 o'clock. There will be a Game 5. That game's back in Milwaukee. Indiana, with a win tomorrow, would be just one win away from advancing on in the playoffs. And also the Indy 11 won today 2-1 over North Carolina FC. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network Driven. The number 2, SaveLives.org is their website. Minor League Baseball tonight. The Quad Cities group beats the South Bend Cubs 12-7. With me, the voice of the South Bend Cubs, Brendan King. And Brendan, today was a tough day to be a Cub. The Chicago Cubs get smacked around, and the South Bend Cubs lose a tough one today. So, not a good day to be a Cubby.
Yeah, those days will happen, though. I mean, they come and they go. I mean, Coach, you coached baseball at one point, and that's how this sport rolls. Yep. I mean, there are going to be days where you have it. There's going to be days where you don't have it. And I think both in Boston and in South Bend today, it was just that type of day. You know, to touch on South Bend, you know, Coach, that 12-7 final for the South Bend Cubs doesn't really tell the whole tale, because it was an 11-1 game in the third inning. Quad City scored 11 runs in the first few. They posted a 9-run third, which is super rare. Rarely do you see anybody score more than 6 in an inning. But, yeah, they had a 9-run third inning. I mean, they came to life pretty well. But I guess part two to that statement is South Bend never quit, and we were able to post 6 combined in the middle innings. But big shout-out to the Quad Cities bullpen. They locked it down the stretch. We had our shots for sure. But, hey, that's how baseball rolls, and we made it competitive. Again, it was 11-1 after 3 innings. Could be really easy to tap out. Guys came back, made it a ball game, and now the series finale comes up tomorrow.
Last night we were talking about how well the pitching staff had done, you know, how well these young guys had done, right? We were talking about that last night, and tonight they give up 16 hits, a 9-run inning, as you point out.
Yeah, that 9-run inning, really, Coach, it was weird because there were 2 chances – To really make a difference in the inning, and some really weird plays happen. The first weird play, ground ball to third, there's a runner at second. Our third baseman picks it up and has the runner at second in a rundown, right? So as basic as you get, he tags the runner, but the umpire said that the tag was never made. Unfortunately, no replay in minor league baseball. So you take a look at the instant replay, the tag was made, but the call on the field was safe. The second play that was weird, potential double play ball, ground ball back to the mound. Our pitcher, it deflected off of him out to the shortstop. What could have been a double play turned into no play. So, yeah, there were 2 plays in that inning. And, Coach, again, you understand baseball. 2 very minor, kind of insignificant plays can spiral, and those 2 minor plays spiraled into a 9-run inning.
Yikes. That's a tough one. That really is. And you point out, though, to their credit, they battle back and get on the board in the middle innings and do things. But there are certain nights when you know it's not your night, and tonight's one of those nights.
Certainly, but positives to take out of it for sure. Pedro Ramirez, he's our 20-year-old second baseman. He had a 3-hit game. He's on a 5-game hitting streak, Coach, and he's batting .500 in his last 5 games.
Wow.
So he is at his hottest point of the season. And then Jonathan Long, our first baseman out of Long Beach State, he's got now 2 home runs in the series, another one tonight, and he's really coming along as well. And then, Coach, this is a guy we talk about often, Jefferson Rojas, our 19-year-old shortstop. He turned 19 2 nights ago. He's now on a 14-game hitting streak. 14-game hitting streak for the 19-year-old. That is the longest active hitting streak in high A baseball.
Yikes. I know you've been raving about this kid. I mean, just think of his future. And that's obviously what everybody is doing. But he's backing it up. And that's amazing. And I'm assuming he's also fielding his position pretty well, too.
He's done a good job. Early on when it was really cold, Coach, we talked about this. There were some errors made. But this is a guy that grew up in the Dominican Republic. He's in the cold environment for the first time. There's going to be errors made when he's playing in 30-degree weather. That's just how this case goes. But he's getting better and better, getting more comfortable. And like you said, 14-game hitting streak for a 19-year-old kid in pro ball. This kid's supposed to be just graduating high school, let alone playing pro ball.
Does he have some power to go with that?
Yeah. His first swing this season was a home run on opening day. So it's developing.
Right.
He still kind of looks like a high schooler. Be it he's 19, so that body
right.
that body is going to get stronger
right.
as we go. So once the Cubs get him in the weight room in Arizona and he's on that diet program for the Cubs as well, he's going to be ferocious. Cubs signed him for over $1 million out of the Dominican a number of years ago, and he's already paying off dividends.
Yeah, I'm curious how he reacted to spring in South Bend. Yikes. No one tells you that. All right, Brendan, hang around, okay?
You got it.
We'll come back, talk some more baseball with Brendan King. Scoreboard update with Corbin Lingenfelter next on Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey fam, I'm asking for your support. Help us raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. By pledging just $19 a month, you're helping St. Jude give every child with cancer a chance. Help St. Jude save lives. Call 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 and become a partner in hope today.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. The Indiana Pacers are less than 20 hours now, actually, from their Game 4 matchup with the Milwaukee Bucks. Game 4 will take place at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, where Pascal Siakam wants to continue to see the fans show up in support.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was dope. I just love, like, being part of those moments and, you know, seeing crowds like that, like yesterday, you know, just so much energy. Like I was saying yesterday, that there's a lot of time where I didn't know, you know, I didn't hear anything, you know, we're trying to call plays. I'm like,
Siakam on Pacers.com. That game will tip off at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Game 5 is back in Milwaukee. MLB scores from today. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Philadelphia Phillies 8-4. Hunter Green gets his first win on the season. St. Louis Cardinals win 7-4 over the New York Mets. Sonny Gray picks up his third win of the year, 3-1 on the season. And the Chicago Cubs got destroyed 17-0 to the Boston Red Sox. Ben Brown takes the loss, his first on the year. And in that game, Chicago gave up 21 hits to the Red Sox. In minor league baseball tonight, the South Bend Cubs fall to Quad Cities 12-7. That's the Quad Cities River Bandits, as we're talking with Brendan King and coach Bob Lovell. Let's get back out to them now. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Brendan King, the voice of the South Bend Cubs, rejoins us. South Bend Cubs lose to the Quad City. What's the Quad City? Remind me what it is.
That would be the River Bandits, coach. They're the logo River with Bandits. The raccoon with the little bandana.
Yeah, I got you. I still, you know, I love the nicknames. I really. What's the tree? What is it? Tree? There's something about a tree.
Would that be the sky carp?
Oh, that'd be the sky carp. That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Oh yeah, we were at their place last week.
So who are you? Okay, so you when? What's the next series?
Well, you'll like this one too, Coach. We are actually going for the first time. It's been a while. For the first time since 2019, we are going to Lansing, Michigan, which really doesn't add up because Lansing's one of the closest drives in the league. But for whatever reason, they've always come to us instead of us going to them. We are going to go to Lansing, and here's the kicker for you. They are the Lansing Lugnuts. That's L-U-G-N-U-T-S, the Lansing Lugnuts. And they have an excellent logo, too, but it's a great stadium in downtown Lansing, Michigan, one of my favorites in the league. We'll be up there starting on Tuesday.
And how are the Lugnuts playing?
To be honest with you, Coach, I don't know because my prep this week has been on the River Bandits. I'll get to work on the prep of the Lugnuts probably on Monday. But what I can say, they are the Midwest League affiliate of the Oakland A's. And you know how things are going right now with the A's. And that would be not well.
No,
you know, they're going to be in Triple A Park the next few years in Sacramento. But if there's one thing for sure, through all the tanking, they have picked up some pretty darn good prospects. So they have a team filled with kids that are hoping to be part of the next Moneyball story, right? Billy Beane's still running the show, and they've drafted well. So I can say they have some high-level prospects, but I do not know exactly what they are doing just yet.
Well, you'll have tomorrow to prepare. Come on, you know. That's how this works. That's how the schedule works, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, series finale tomorrow against Quad Cities. That's at 2:05, and then we will be back. Actually, we'll be in the Quad Cities at the start of the summer, so we see these guys one more time. They're the affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. And then, like I said, up to Lansing on Tuesday. The next home series, 2 weeks from now, we'll play the Cedar Rapids Colonels. They are the affiliate of the Minnesota Twins.
All right, so you know, we've talked about this before, two halves of this season. This first half has not gone like you had anticipated or had hoped, has it?
Not yet, but there's a long way to go. I mean, the month of April, Coach, to me is a wash. It always has been, a lot because of what we talked about before the break. You know, a guy like Jefferson Rojas, 18-year-old shortstop, playing in 30, 40-degree weather for the first time. He's used to playing out in the Dominican, of course, when it's, you know, 90s to 100 degrees. Yeah, he is just not used to, for example, our first series, we were in the Quad Cities. We were playing in Davenport. Coach, there was a 40-degree gust coming in off of the Mississippi River, and it was 32 degrees. There is nobody in the Dominican Republic that can prepare you for that. Nobody.
Well, no.
You actually experience it. So the fact that even, you went through it, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, even if you live in Michigan, you're not prepared for that.
Oh, hell no.
So, no. That's why I loved playing baseball in college and high school. I loved coaching it. I don't miss it at all in the spring because I hated those doubleheaders on the road in 50-degree drizzle and all this. It was miserable. I don't have to tell you. You know what it's like.
I sure do, but that's what we sign up for, Coach, and that's why you get to enjoy the June and July when it comes along. I mean, we have our home schedule for June and July. We're going to be at home a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that's what you sign up for. You know, you kind of get through the toughies in April and May, just wait for it to warm up, and then once you get to June, you're home free, and you know you can wear shorts to the park every day, and you're never going to have to bring a change of clothes.
Traditionally, you know, we talked about this last night. Obviously, the purpose of minor league baseball is to develop talent and move them along to the parent club. And so, time-wise, calendar-wise, when do we expect to see movement in that front?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's all up to kind of how the organization pushes their guys. You know, the guy we've talked about a lot these last few minutes, Jefferson Rojas, he's only 19.
Right.
I would imagine, you know, he's going to have many, many years in the minor leagues before he gets called up. But here's an example for you. Guy that won the Midwest League Championship with us, Pete Crow Armstrong. He is right now the hottest name in the city of Chicago because Cody Bellinger's hurt. PCA, as we call him, is the number one prospect with the Cubs. He is the best player coach I've ever covered. I've said that on the record many times.
Mm-hmm.
He won a championship with us in 2022. He's the Cubs' number one prospect. He was the piece coming back for Javi Baez from the Mets. When the Cubs traded Baez to the Mets, they got Pete Crow Armstrong back. And again, he's the best player I've ever covered because he's a five-tool player. He's got the best center field glove I've ever seen. He runs the bases better than anybody I've ever seen. He's got contact power. He's got home run power. And also, the intelligence for the game is absolutely unmatched. Now, all that being said, Pete's still 22 years old. We had him 2 years ago. He was only 20. So that goes to show you, he just hit his first major league home run at Wrigley a couple days ago, and it was against the Houston Astros, the team that has been a World Series favorite the last number of years. You just can't predict usually what's going to happen. And in Pete's case, he was with us in South Bend 2 years ago. He worked his tail off, played at AAA the last year and a half, and now Cody Bellinger got hurt. So now he's getting his shot in center field every day. And again, that's kind of the prospect-wise. You just don't know. But if there's one thing you got to be sure of, you got to be ready when that phone call comes.
All right, you can look at your calendar. You can see that April's about finished. That means you're coming back to do some work at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
That's right. That's right. Cannot wait. I just got my schedule. I'm very lucky that I'm going to get to do pretty much all the track updates right here on Network Indiana and for our flagship stations, WIBC and The Fan. So huge thank you to everybody back there at home for given that opportunity, and I can't wait to be at the track, Coach. I mean, it's going to be an intriguing month of May. Kyle Larson being in the field, Pato O'Ward is supremely hungry after missing out the last couple years.
Right,
Marcus Erickson, not a great end to his race last season. So there's a lot to be excited about, and I'm thrilled to be back covering the 500.
I'll tell you what is exciting is that, am I right, you and I are working the IHSA state finals?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we are going to, and that's a big shout-out to Heath Shanahan. And Coach,
yeah.
That was one of the thrills of my career last year, getting to actually call a baseball game with you. That was one thing we have never done together, and that's kind of crazy to say because we've done just about everything together except literally call a game together. So last year was our first. That was awesome, and I'm excited for year number two. And we're going to be covering some pretty darn good teams once again, and there are a few better places to do it at than Victory Field in the month of June.
Oh.
So really, Coach, I mean, I got my weekends planned for the next couple months. I got South Bend Cubs baseball for the next few weeks. I got Indy 500 qualifying and race weekend in the middle of May, and then you and I are hanging out in June. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And my beloved wife, Penny, has the classic question, and it's, I thought you gave all this up. And she said, I thought all you were doing was your show. And I said, no, you know what? I love baseball. It's actually, as a kid, it was my favorite sport. Things have taken a different turn career-wise. But she goes, well, I thought you weren't going to do games anymore. She said, I didn't think you were going to do baseball. And I said, nah, you know what? I like Heath, and I love working with Brendan King. I said, why? You know, chance to be at the ballpark and watch some baseball and have some fun with guys you like. So why not do it?
I'm thrilled about it, Coach. Counting down the days. And like I said, it's going to be a really fun summer to be able to have all those things on the checklist. And looking forward to being with you again, my man.
South Bend Cubs, good luck tomorrow, Brendan. Thanks so much for the call. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Brendan King from the South Bend Cubs. Scoreboard update coming up with Corbin Lingenfelter. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. We're continuing to see former Hoosier High School football players signing or being drafted by NFL teams. As earlier it was announced, Warsaw Tiger kicker Harrison Meavis is heading to Carolina. He was signed as an undrafted free agent earlier on. He played his college football at Missouri. And also in the draft, taken 129th overall, Isaac Guerrero, an Avon High School alum, was picked up by the San Francisco 49ers. In high school for the Orioles, Guerrero had 1,800 yards and 22 touchdowns, and also won the state track championship for 100 meters and the 4x100 relay. As we mentioned earlier, Carson Steele is heading to the Kansas City Chiefs as an undrafted free agent. The Center Grove Trojan alumni spent 2 years with Ball State before transferring to UCLA last year. We're getting you set for Pacers and Bucks game number 4 with a 7:00 tip off. Indiana holds a 2-1 series lead. The Pacers are just 2 wins away from advancing on in that series in the best of 7. Now game 5 will be back in Milwaukee. Let's get you back to some baseball scores. 7th-ranked Valparaiso 3-1 over Munster. Winners tonight, East Chicago Central falls to South Bend Washington 14-4. Portage wins 11-1 over Hammond Morton. Cohen wins 6-5 over Frankton. And South Dearborn falls to Madison 8-0.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network Driven, the number 2, SaveLives.org. Corbin Lingenfelter, great job tonight. So, Damian Lillard underwent MRI to determine the severity of his Achilles injury, and right now it seems doubtful.
That is right. The Pacers game preview on their website has him listed as doubtful, along with Giannis still dealing with that left calf strain. And Chris Middleton is dealing with a right ankle sprain, but he's listed as probable for tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, he has, especially, you know, big shots that he made, he's playing. And they'd wheel him out there in a wheelchair and he'd knock down shots. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
But the Lillard injury, yikes, you're talking about without Giannis and Lillard. It's one of those things where it's human nature to maybe let up a little bit, but you can't. They have other guys clearly on their team not as good as Giannis or as good as Lillard, but they're in the NBA for a reason because they have some skill and some talent, and they want to win too. So you've got to come out and establish yourself. I don't think there's any question on what's ahead for you tomorrow.
Yeah, there is no question. As we heard Rick Carlisle say a little bit earlier in his Media Day press conference, you know, you expect everything in the playoffs. You know, if one guy goes, one guy doesn't go. You know, it's playoff basketball. You have to be ready for anything. And it'll be interesting to see what the Pacers expect for tomorrow night. And, you know, you mentioned it. We saw when Lillard went out last night. You know, it was pretty good for the Pacers because they got off to, I think, a 19-point lead during that time period in the first half. So I think if they can continue to build on that, and if Lillard is out, this would be a good chance to get that 3-1 series lead and, you know, go into Milwaukee knowing you just have to win one more game and you're moving on.
So injury-wise, the Pacers are okay? Everyone's available tomorrow?
Correct, yep. Everybody that's been listed on the roster is available besides Mathurin, who went out earlier in the regular season with
Got
that
it.
Shoulder
Got
tear.
It.
So, but, yeah, everybody's healthy according to their injury report.
It's hard to feel sorry for teams that have injuries unless it's your team. So that's the nature of it. All right, so you've done a great job of letting everybody know what's going on NFL draft-wise. It's especially neat to hear about some of the Indiana kids and what they've done. So if you don't mind, start at the beginning with the Colts and walk everybody through who they've taken over the course of these last 3 days.
Sure thing. So on Thursday night, the Indianapolis Colts pick 15th overall, and they went edge rusher Laiatu Latu from UCLA. On night number 2, which was last night, their first pick in the second round went to Adonai Mitchell, a wide receiver out of Texas, who had a first-round grade on him, according to Rick Venturi, the former Colts coach and current analyst on the Colts radio network. 79th overall, which was in the third round, which was the Colts' final pick on day 2, they went Matt Goncalves, a offensive lineman out of Pitt, who Chris Ballard described as a fit where you need him kind of guy. So he can play pretty much everywhere. He's very versatile. And today, Indianapolis had 6 picks thanks to trading back in the second round. On Friday night, they went with Tanner Bordellini, an interior offensive lineman out of Wisconsin. So another Badger on the Colts roster to go along with Jonathan Taylor. Anthony Gold, a wide receiver out of Oregon State. Jalen Carlisle, a linebacker out of Missouri. Jalen Sampson, a cornerback out of Auburn. Micah Abraham, a defensive back out of Marshall, and they wrapped up their draft in the seventh round with a defensive tackle out of Oklahoma, Jonah Lawalu.
So, the early reports are, and they filled needs, a lot of excitement about their wide receiver they took from Texas. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, Rick Venturi grades him out as a first-round pick. And for the last few years, there certainly has been a prevailing thought by many in the media that the Colts needed help at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So that's an issue that they seem to have addressed. Am I right?
You are right. You know, Greg Rakestraw mentioned it and was right on at the start of the show tonight. You know, you've got Michael Pittman Jr. is your true number one right now. You know, there he wants to develop that down the field ball, the bigger plays going further down the field, which I think he will do this year with AR coming back and playing hopefully a full season. Downs is a great guy over the middle in the slot. And then you've got Alec Pierce right now, who I think the best way I've heard it described, it's all or nothing. He's going to catch your deep ball or that's pretty much it. Now you've got a Donnie Mitchell who's going to come in and he's going to really help you take some pressure off of the run game. And then he's also going to help you take pressure off of Pittman, who you just gave a 3-year contract to, and help develop Josh Downs because he's going to get probably a few more open looks over the middle of the field.
All right, so now we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Ask Rex Ryan how that went when he said that after the Jets made their Sanchez pick in 2009. I'm not going that far. I'm not getting the Super Bowl champion tattoo yet, Coach.
But this is a team that, you know, under the circumstances last year, played reasonably well. You expect them to grow and get better. And we all know it hinges on your quarterback and Anthony Richardson. I'm sure, hey, look, he has a lot to prove to himself and everybody else, and he can't wait to get going. But injuries are such an important part of the NFL. As I mentioned earlier in talking with Greg, you know, the key is you got to have enough quality depth and quality playmakers and the number of playmakers and game changers that you can withstand some of those injuries. And I think the attitude or the thought right now is that they're inching closer to that type of status.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you mentioned the playmakers. Jonathan Taylor is probably the most watched guy that defensive have when they go into their team meetings to watch film and get ready to play for the Colts. Now you've got 3-4 guys that you're going to have to also pay attention to. And I think the addition of Mitchell, some help on the offensive line, you know, backup guys coming in to kind of compete with those other guys, they'll help out with that sort of, you know, pushing forward, moving the ball down and take this offense from perhaps being, I'm not saying it's one-dimensional, but sometimes it feels like it was, to a two-dimensional style where you can throw the ball. And Richardson's development over the last year coming back from that shoulder injury is going to be a big part of that.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, quite frankly. These next few, you know, and, you know, for the NFL junkies, and there are more and more of them out there, this kicks it off, no pun intended. This gets everybody fired up. You know, in terms of schedule and rhythm or whatever. You know, you got the NFL draft, and now you look to have rookie free agents in the building and working out, and then you look to OTAs, and you begin to look to your summer practices. And they start, what is it, July is when they'll start training camp?
Correct, the end of July, according to Matt Taylor.
Yikes.
It's coming
up. Before we know it, it will absolutely be here. All right, Corbin. Be ready. We've got a lot more to talk about. That's Corbin Lingenfelter. Tremendous job, as always. Don't forget, though, Pacers at 7 tomorrow night. It should be an awful lot of fun. Indiana Sports Talk brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Sign up today. Help lives in the future. Anyone can sign up. No age limits, no health restrictions. To sign up to be an organ donor, every 10 minutes someone's added to the donor transplant waiting list. and there are more than 1,000 Hoosiers waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. And by signing up to be an organ and tissue donor, you can help save 8 lives and heal 75 others. Again, their website, driven2savelives.org. Extremely important website. We encourage you to go there. All right. Scoreboard update. Last one of the night coming up with Corbin Lingenfelter. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. Let's get you set for a busy day of Sunday sports, shall we? The St. Louis Cardinals are continuing their series with the New York Mets in New York. That game will throw first pitch at 1:40. The Tampa Bay Rays take a visit up to the South Side against Chicago White Sox. That game throws at 2:10. Cincinnati Reds head to Texas to take on the Rangers. 2:35 first pitch there. And then also the Chicago Cubs are on the road once again to face the Boston Red Sox. That game throws at 7 o'clock. Cubs looking for a bounce back after giving up 21 hits earlier on today. We're also going to get you set for Indiana Pacers basketball. Tip off at 7 o'clock. Game 4 versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Right now, it's not looking good for the Bucks, as two of their star players could be out tomorrow. Giannis Antetokounmpo is doubtful, still dealing with that left calf strain that he suffered near the end of the regular season. And Damian Lillard has been listed as doubtful due to a right Achilles tendonitis that he suffered in the first half of that Game 3 loss to the Pacers in overtime. Also listed on the injury report for the Bucks is Chris Middleton, probable though with a right ankle sprain, and officially ruled out is Chris Livingston due to non-COVID related illness. Your projected starting five for Indiana tomorrow is Tyrese Halliburton running the guard. Forwards will be Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith, as well as Pascal Siakam and center Miles Turner. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Glad you could join us. Hey, Corbin, I have a question. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
But go ahead.
When's the track open up?
For the 500?
Yeah, when do they begin to practice?
Practice schedule is, let me look this up for you here. So
May 1st is Wednesday. I'm asking correct. This because May 1st is Wednesday. I mean, everybody just remember May 1st is Wednesday. And also remember that, I'll be on hiatus after Saturday's show before the race. So we got 4 more weeks of me, and then I'm going to take a couple months off. So when do they open up for practice?
So practice will begin on Tuesday, May 14th, run through the 16th, which is Thursday. Uh-huh. Fast right. Friday is May 17th. They'll ooh. Qualify on May 18th and 19th.
Right.
And then a little bit of more practice on the 20th. Carb day is the 24th. Legends uh-huh. Day is the 25th, and race day is the 26th.
Carb day, George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers. Perfect. And absolutely. No, it's perfect. I understand it. It should be an absolute crazy, crazy carb day. That's a great choice. That's a genius choice for them. And that's all good stuff. And so, got the race tomorrow. Got the IndyCar race in Alabama at Barber Motorsports tomorrow. Who's on the pole for that race?
I'm trying to remember who Tony had said.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
I'm not trying to. I mean, no, I should know this.
You're making me do my job, so.
No.
According to this, it's Felix Rosenquist.
Felix Rosenquist. So should be fun. And, you know, talking with Adam Alexander earlier, we've got NASCAR at Dover, the Monster Mile. And I'm still wrestling with the concept of a 30-foot drop going into the first turn. So.
Well, if you've been on any Indiana roads lately, some of these potholes might be that far of a drop. And I was actually wrong. It's Scott McLaughlin on the poll tomorrow. I was looking.
Scott McLaughlin, yeah. Right. I think it's going to be a great race. Fun thing is you get into May. Everybody understands it. And we were talking last night with Brad Huber, who is the track announcer at the Paragon Motor Speedway in Paragon, Indiana. I just don't think people recognize how many racetracks there are in our state. Until I started doing this show years ago, I didn't realize it. I didn't, about Raceway Park here in Indianapolis, and you got the Salem Speedway, and then you had Hobstadt down by Evansville, and Brownstown, and you start going around the Winchester track and those kinds of things. But there are plenty of racetracks. So any Friday and Saturday night around our state. They're races. We love racing in this state. People don't. Yeah, the 500, obviously, for all that Raceway Park, and these are famous venues. But people love their racing on these weekends, and they're out in force at these tracks, and it's so much fun. They get so inspired and so involved in it.
Yeah, and one of my favorite sporting events was going to Kittley when I was early teenage years. So
right.
It's one of the better tracks that I've ever been to. Granted, I've not been to much, but, I love going to Kittley. I love going to all these smaller tracks, watching some of these guys who do it on the weekends for a little bit of money to get through the next week.
He's the man, Corbin Lingenfelter. Corbin, we'll be back. We got final break, some final thoughts. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm so glad you could join us. It was a busy, busy weekend, obviously. Reminder, you have the Pacers on tomorrow at 7 o'clock taking on the Bucks. Lillard and Giannis out for the Bucks. Certainly bad news for them. Good news for the Pacers. Very productive draft for the Colts. Them starting to put things together so everyone can get excited. I'm just looking ahead now this coming weekend. We're going to talk some college football, some college basketball. Recruiting continues. If you're in the basketball world, you know that right now there are plenty of AAU-related extravaganzas. It's the open recruiting period time. It's an incredibly important time for young men and women around our state. And so there are plenty of opportunities. And with the nature of college recruiting and the portal and how it's gotten involved in things, this becomes extremely important for multiple reasons. Looking ahead for our show coming up this weekend, we're going to spend some time trying to catch you up on what's been happening in recruiting on the portal side and out of high schools. Also, I'm going to spend some more time talking about Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Game. It'll be here before you know it. It's a lot of fun. It's one of really, really cool events. So we're going to spend some time talking about that this weekend. We'll also continue to talk about, hopefully this weekend, we'll be talking about the Pacers winning their series with the Milwaukee Bucks. Certainly go a long way to accomplishing that with a big win coming up tomorrow. And so that's what we're hopeful that that's how this plays out. So you've got, the game tomorrow and then game again on Tuesday. So It's a situation where, as you know, Pacers up 2-1, and it would be a huge, huge win for them to get this tomorrow. And so watch it, 7 o'clock, should be a lot of fun. And also, I always encourage you to do this. I'm an old softy for this. Go out and support the young men and women in your community in spring sports. It's fun to go out. Go watch some softball, some baseball, some tennis. Have some fun. Watch the kids. Support them. Buy a ticket. That's how they support the programs that they have. So it's incredibly important for you to get out there and support those student-athletes in your community. And do it the right way, and we appreciate that. We cannot do this without you. You can't do it without Corbin Lingenfelter. Great job by Corbin. A fantastic job, too. By Jace Coons, thanks so much. Also, coming up, we want to thank all of our great stations around the state that bring the show every Friday and Saturday night. And more importantly, thanks to all of you for making this the most listened to sports talk show in the state's history. This is Indiana.